take your Bible and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, look for chapter number 10. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. If you find Psalms, then there's Proverbs, then the book of Ecclesiastes. If you need to, go to the index in the front of your Bible. It will help you. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. And once you found it, why don't you stand with me, please? We'll stand out of reverence to the Word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, starting with verse number 1. The Bible says, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to every one that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offences. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler." I want you to look back at verse number 4. It says, "If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offences." Tonight, I want to talk to you about this, your relationship with a bad-spirited leader. Your relationship with a bad-spirited leader. Most everybody here has leaders in their lives, some more than one. You have bosses, there are teachers that you'll deal with, or leaders across the church. Now, I want you to know, I think leaders ought to have a good, healthy spirit. I think they ought to have an appropriate spirit. But there's a problem. They don't always have a good attitude. There's a way for you to respond when a leader has a bad attitude. And I'm going to show you what that is tonight. Let's pray. Father, bless us now. Not a lot of teaching like this goes on. And therefore, we have tension between leaders and followers and followers and leaders. Thank you for the scripture. God, I hope this does not seem small. I don't mean it to seem silly. But you're brilliant. You are brilliant. Oh my God. What you know, and what you've taught us in this book, it's amazing. Bless us now as we learn about this idea tonight, a relationship with a leader that maybe has a bad attitude. Bless us, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were listening there, you'll find in that in verse number 4, it says this, "If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses." We've been talking now, this is lesson number 20 on the subject of relationships. And folks, we really as Christians, we're trying not to have a lot of offenses in life. You've heard the verse, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall what? Offend them." We're trying not to be offensive, and be good for you and me that we not be offended. You realize how easy some people are to offend? I mean, their emotions and their feelings are just so hypersensitive. You got to be careful what kind of humor you use around them. They just like that, they're offended. You walk away saying, I don't know how they took it, but I know they didn't take it the way I'm in it. But they, you know, what kind of a mood are they in? How are they doing? Fielding their interaction with people. But in life, you're going to find out there are going to be times when leaders don't have the right attitude. And the sermon tonight, it's all about how you should respond if a leader has a bad attitude or a bad spirit. I'm not justifying a bad-spirited leader. I'm not a great leader in any sense of the word, but I work very hard at having a good attitude toward people. I work very hard at how I say, what I say, when I say it, how much to say, and I try that there not be offense between me and people. And I think leaders ought to work at that, but I don't think they all do. And everybody can have a bad day. Some people have a perpetual series of bad days. But I want to help you a little bit on this thing of your relationship with a bad-spirited leader. Either a leader that had a bad attitude or a bad spirit for a moment, for a day, maybe for a week, and or maybe someone that really deals with being on edge a little more than maybe what would be appropriate. Notice the words. It says, if the spirit of the leader rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. Now, so you all know, I didn't write that. I'm just the preacher that's going to teach and preach it. God is saying here that if a leader, if his spirit rises up against you, you don't have to run. And then he said, yielding pacifieth great offenses. I could clear up a lot of tension between moms and dads that cop a little bit of an attitude when they're correcting their children. You say, well, what should I do if my mom and dad have a bad attitude when they're correcting me? Yielding pacifieth great offenses. So I wonder if my boss got huffy with me. What am I supposed to do? Sock him in the nose. That's what a good Christian would do. No, it says yielding pacifieth great offenses. It's been a few years ago now. I wish more years than reality, but a few years ago I got pulled over for speeding. Now, you say, what did you do? I'm going to tell you what I did. I was speeding. I looked over and seen the police car, and he seen me. We made eye contact. I knew when he pulled out that I was pulling over. He wasn't pulling out casually to go to the donut store. The minute I knew that he pulled out, before he even turned his lights on, I pulled over. You say, that was dumb. Yeah, maybe so. But I pulled over. Now, this was far enough back that I got out of my car and I went back to his. Now, today, I think they prefer that you stay in your car. But back in the day, you would get out of your car, and it made sense for you to inconvenience yourself and get out of your car and go back to theirs. You say, why? Because you're trying to buy time, baby. You just want to keep that guy as happy as you can. So I was speeding. I knew it. He rolled his window down when I got back to his car. I handed him my driver's license before he asked for it. I handed him my registration before he asked for it. I handed him my insurance card before he asked for it. I then said this. I said, sir, I was speeding. I was going 61 and a 55. I deserve a ticket. He was shocked. He was as shocked as Hillary was on election night. He was shocked. He shook his head. He was in awe. He just couldn't believe it. He chuckled. He said, you know, I have the space to where I can give you a warning. He said, sir, will you promise me you're going to drive safe? I said, I will. He said, then get in your car and get out of here. And I did. I could have made that 10 times worse. I could have gotten a ticket. There's so many things that could have come of that. But I yielded. And in yielding, there was not an offense. And therefore, I believe this. I think the police officer realized that I was not afraid to be told I was wrong. I could handle. Matter of fact, I didn't want you to have to tell me I was wrong. Wouldn't we all be better off if we would tell ourselves we were wrong? Think of the offenses at work that you would never have to go through if when you did wrong, you told your boss you did wrong instead of your boss having to tell you. Think of this, young people. Think if you told mom and dad when you were wrong instead of mom and dad having to come and tell you you're wrong so you could go through the mental stress of denying and blaming your brother, blaming your sister, and it probably was your sister's fault, but blaming someone other than yourself. And the tension that comes when the leader must correct the follower, if the follower would correct himself and let it be known to the leader looks at a maturity within the follower and appreciates it. Well, submission or yielding, I don't know that it comes easy for any of us. But let me tell you something. Yielding is a strength. It is not a weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. Our county had some wishes about our building. They had something that they wanted us to recently do about our building. I got to tell you, I thought it was kind of dumb. But you know what I did? No matter how dumb I thought what the county wanted of me was, today I met with them again and I said, we did it. We did it. And I told them, I said, gladly. And I said, If you don't like the way we did it, I'll improve it if that's what you'd like for me to do, sir. He said, no, sir. He said, it's fine. So I dealt with the inspector today. Do you know how many people can deal with someone like that and cause themselves 10 times more grief than what's necessary? The fire marshal. When we were down at our old building, you remember back when we could seat comfortably 40 or 50 people and we were putting 100 in the building, and y'all remember that, right? Okay. The fire marshal needed to come and see us. And you got to understand, fire marshal, when you have a building full of people and everything, fire marshal's not your favorite person to see coming your direction. When we met with him, this is what we said. We said, sir, we're going to do what you say. And I told him, I said, I love the people that come to my church. And their safety is probably far more important to me than it is to you. You tell me how I make my people safe, and I'll do it. He walked through our building. He said, sir, everything's fine here. Everything's fine. Do you know how rare it is that a fire marshal walks through any building, even the building where the fire marshal's office is at, and can't find something wrong with it? He just walked away. That could have been far worse. People who, if I may, if I can say it this way, people that have power over us, people that are our leaders, people that have stature or they're above us, there's a right and a wrong way to respond. And many times, it's not all about the issue. It's all about their position. You say, well, that little silly thing. It probably wasn't a little silly thing. They wanted to see if you had the sense to understand they were in charge. And so, young people with your parents, say, what's the big deal? Your sock is probably not as big a deal as what you think. It's your parents want to see you obey. They want to see if you understand that is dad and that is mom, and there ain't no getting out of this thing. Now, let me show you something. Let me teach you something that will make your life better if you'll allow it. Some of you will have rebellious spirits throughout it because it's going to be very hard for you to swallow. You just don't like to be told you ought to submit. But if you're miserable, you're miserable. Let me say number one. Well, I wrote this down. I think it's worth saying. Submission stifles stress. It used the word, it said pacifieth great offenses. To pacify means to delay or put it off until it cools off. But submission stifles stress. Now, number one, the Bible command to yield or the Bible command to submit is always to the follower first. If you went through the Bible, and I'm about to show you, in the Bible, God commands us. He always gives the command of submission. He throws it out to the follower first. Let me show you what I mean. Children are commanded to submit to their parents. That comes before what the parents are supposed to do. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Notice that God gives his attention to the child's fellowship before the parent's leadership. Now, God is against any kind of anarchy. But what God is saying is, follower, you worry about being a good follower. And so for every one of us, if we want to minimize offenses in life, if we'll become good followers, and as a follower, act right toward the leader, you say, but what if the leader's not acting right? That's not your place. You be a good follower. Because that submission or yielding follower pacifieth great offenses. I said the Bible command is to the follower first. Next, students and teachers. It says in Proverbs 5:13, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Notice, student, you should care for your own obedience first. God wants the submitter to have a good attitude. So, when you're the student, it's not your job to analyze the attitude of the teacher. It's your job to analyze the attitude of the student. You be a good student. You say, but they're a rude teacher. That's the way some of you are. He was rude to me, so I'll be rude to him. That's not Christianity. That's not Christianity at all. If he hit me, I hit him. He spit on me, I spit on him. That's the way the world lives. Christians aren't supposed to be like that. And so, student, have a right attitude. Not based on leadership, but based on what you are. Let me go on. I throw this in here. I don't have any problem with this, but pastor and people. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. That is a scripture that's talking about the under-shepherd or the pastor. Notice, it says to the follower, the member first, you are to be submissive. God comes to the people and says, it's your job to submit to the man of God. You say, but wonder if the man of God is mean. Now, I don't think men of God ought to be mean. Now, what some people think is mean and what is standing for something that is right can be two different things. You'll find out, I don't think I am a mean-spirited person. But you challenge me on the King James Bible or challenge me on the doctrines of the Bible, I will take my stand and I will fight for what's right. But that didn't mean I hate you and that didn't mean I'm trying to hurt you. I'm just going to stand for what's right. But I don't think that if let's say that a man of God for some reason has a bad attitude, well, if you're part of that man's church, I think you ought to keep a good attitude no matter how bad his attitude is. We all tend to think that, well, what everybody's doing, I'm going to get in on it. Boy, if you live your life that way, you're going to be a mess all your life. You're supposed to do what's right no matter what everybody else is doing, even if it's the leader above you. So, I told you this. I said the Bible command to yield is always to the follower first. Children to parents, student to teachers, people to the pastor, wives to husbands. Brother Morgan, you better be careful. He's going in surgery tomorrow, and she already told me. I said, hey, while he's in surgery, you know, he's got all those drugs in him. It's a good time to ask for things. April said, I don't ask. I'll just take. He'll be out of it. This submission thing, wives to husbands. Ephesians 5:22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You say, well, he does not submit to God, so I don't have to submit to him. No, you're wrong. You are wrong. Now, you say, well, my husband wanted me to rob a bank. Well, you're not supposed to rob a bank. Well, wonder if he wants me to shoot somebody. Okay, let me ask you this question. Did your husband ask you to shoot somebody? Did your husband ask you to rob a bank? Well, why use outrageous ways to get off the trail of what the truth is? The truth is a wife's supposed to be submissive to her husband based on the Bible. You say, well, wonder if he's got a bad attitude. You're supposed to do the right thing anyway. Your attitude is not to be based on your husband's attitude, but your attitude is supposed to be based on the Scripture. And so, God says, and I was doing so well with some of you when I was talking about the children and things like that, lost you completely right there. Employees and employers, the command is always given to the follower first. 1 Peter 2:18 says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You know, can I tell you all something? Most of the time, bosses are relatively tough. You say, why? They got to be tough enough to pay your paycheck, to build the business, to fight the war. If it were easy, you'd be doing it. But you don't have what it takes to do it. So somebody else has to do it. So if you got to put up with a little tension from somebody that's out there fighting the war to make sure you have a paycheck, it might be smart for you to say, you know what? There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of struggle out there. Maybe he walked in the office today and it was a little tough, but he's fighting to keep a paycheck in my wallet. You all okay with that? That's reality, whether you like it or not. So it says here, servants, be subject to your masters. Employees are to submit with a positive attitude. As an employee, stay right with God, even if your employer does not. I've had a lot of employees through the years that have worked for me. I try to treat them with dignity. You would be hard-pressed to find any person who has ever worked for me that would say that I was an unreasonable, unkind, or unjust boss. But I've had to work at that. But I've had plenty of bosses that were unreasonable, unkind, and hard to work for. I've had plenty. So what do? Just so you all know, if you want to have a job, you're going to have to learn how to deal with it. I mean, isn't that true? Are all bosses just made of fluff? Fluffy people don't build successful businesses. Tough people do. People get in there and dig it out that's got drive and tenacity and can fight. Well, look, you got somebody fighting so you can have a paycheck and you can get 40 hours and get some overtime. You might find some of that tenacity spilling out every once in a while in the break room. We'll go on. We're going to get past the introduction to the good stuff in a minute. Citizens and government. The Bible says in Mark 12:17, and Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God's the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. Isn't that amazing? They marveled at it. Jesus was teaching the same thing I am. They said, you don't hear a lot of teaching like this. We do not put the government before God. He clarified that in that verse. But you are to put the government. You're to put the government before your own personal preference. In other words, this. I think you and I ought to be good citizens. I'll be honest, and it kind of doesn't matter to me what people think. But if somebody doesn't like the United States of America, there are plenty of countries that they can go to. I'm a firm believer in that flag, and I think that when that flag, we're to put our hands on our heart and stand for the national anthem, there's a respect that we ought to give our government. Servants and masters. 1 Timothy 6:1, it says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. So here it says servants need to serve right, even if masters are not mastering right. If the master has a bad attitude, the servant is supposed to keep themselves right with God. Hey, and the servant is also supposed to try to keep themselves right with the master too. Do you know that your boss can have a bad attitude, but you can have a good attitude? We respond way too much in life. You're to be a good Christian even if your boss is being a bad Christian. Young people, children, teenagers. You're to be a good Christian even if dad's being a jerk at the time when he corrects you. And every once in a while, I don't know about y'all, you dads, there were times I was a jerk when I was correcting my kids. There were times when I corrected my kids in the flesh, not in the spirit. And I was wrong, and I did not handle it right. My children's responsibility was to have a right, good attitude while I was busy having a wrong, bad attitude. So remember, what I'm trying to tell you is, yielding pacifieth great offenses. How many of you were in the military at any time in your life? Would you raise your hand? You can put your hand down. You're going to understand this as well as any here. Soldiers are to have a good attitude toward their commanders, even if their commanders have an edge on them. Luke chapter 7, verse number 8. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Listen, privates are told to shut up and follow. You will not have a strong military if all the privates are walking around offended and unable to follow because their CO did not smile. Our society has lost respect for leadership. You say, but what about the wickedest of the wicked? The problem is not the wickedest of the wicked. The problem is in our everyday lives. We tend to have this problem with authority. Our society's lost that respect. We want to debate and deliberate our obedience instead of just practice it. You ought to be obedient no matter what everybody else is doing. You say, all the other teenagers in the youth department are doing it. Well, that didn't make it right. I'll say this about me. Parents, you can figure out if you want to apply this at your house. I don't want my kids to be exactly like me. I want my kids to be better than that. So might I say, if my children want to live better than me and have a better attitude than me and live more righteously than me and serve God more than me, have at it. I'm good with that. I am not the ultimate example of anything. Christians and God. Remember, the whole first point here is this. The Bible commands yielding always to the follower first. Children to parents, students to teachers, people to pastor, wives to husbands, employees to employers, citizens to the government, servants to masters, soldiers to their commanders, and Christians to God. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Just obey God. Just trust Him. Now, on this one right here, you can be 100% sure whatever his attitude is, it's right. God can't have a bad attitude. Oh, but you can misjudge his attitude. He said, well, I'm mad at God. You have no right to be mad at God. And that's one of the most dangerous things you'll ever do because God's always right. With a good attitude, God's always right. You say, but he seemed to be harsh, then you needed harshness at the moment. And might I also say, if you can misjudge God, you may misjudge some other authority in life. But the truth of the matter is, I don't think we're supposed to spend all of our time judging the authority. I think we're supposed to spend all of our time judging ourselves and making sure we, as followers, are doing the right thing. I need to act right no matter what my leadership is doing. Folks, for some of you, this could save your job. For some of you, this could save your relationship with your parents. Now, that's point number one. Next couple of points will be very quick. Number two, if the ruler's spirit is bad, you go ahead and do right. You go ahead and do the right thing. Listen to what it said there in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 4. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, what's spirit mean? That's their attitude. That's their demeanor. That's their behavior. Sometimes it's not just what they're telling us to do, it's how they're telling us to do it. Not really, everybody here that's a leader, I think you ought to tell people when you're the leader what to do, and I think you ought to be decent and kind and generous. But as a follower, it says, if the ruler's spirit is bad, I'm to go ahead and do my part right. If the boss has a bad attitude, don't you have a bad attitude. If the teacher's having a bad day, don't add to it. If your husband is harsh, we are still to be in submission. that makes him wrong and you right. The leader's bad attitude is not justification for our lack of obedience. And some of you believe this if you think you can get in enough trouble. You know, in the relationships of life where you can figure a way out of it, you're fine. But the next time you get pulled over to get a ticket and they tell you to go the speed limit, and they give you a ticket or they don't, I dare you to spin your tires and take off and get your car as fast as you can in the presence of that police officer. You say, well, I'm not going to do that. That'd be stupid. Yeah, and it's almost just as stupid with all the other authorities in life when they're right there and you decide to go ahead and show your colors. But the police officer, see, he can get your money and he can throw you in jail. And you're not going to do it because you know what you'll get if you're rebellious against that authority. Well, just so you all know, if you're rebellious against God, he can do worse than that to you. And the truth is that this is God's concept, not man's concept. I think there are captivities that are not behind bars. Some of you are in emotional captivity and you're in emotional distress. And there's, you know, you can have money taken from you without somebody reaching into your wallet and physically taking it. I wonder how many financial setbacks you've had because of your rebellion, because you won't obey the authorities in your life. You don't get raises at work because boss can't get along with you. You say, well, he's hard to get along with. Then this is your opportunity to use what I'm teaching you to figure out how it's done. Look, if the only people you can get along with are the people that are easy to get along with, so what? Lost people do that. Saved people ought to be able to get along with the jerks of life. And a few of you. So this is what I said. I said the command is always given to the follower first. I said, secondly, if the ruler's spirit is bad, you go ahead and you do right. Thirdly, if the ruler rises up against you, listen to the scripture, you don't have to quit. Listen to this verse. It says, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place. I wonder what that means, leave not thy place. I'm going to guess it means you don't have to leave work. Just because someone raised their voice at you doesn't mean you have to quit. And some of you are old enough and you're not part of the pansy part of America. You've been old enough, you've been around for a little while. Look, if I quit every time somebody raised their voice at me, I would be the world's greatest quitter. Now, I wish that people would only raise their voices when it was godly and appropriate. And I think there are times when the voice is to be raised. The Bible even talks about the raising of the voice of the preacher. So it's very clear. But I got to tell you something. If any time somebody raises their voice at you, you're ready to quit and run, you're going to be a flunky in life. That's why he says, leave not thy place. It's your pride or your lack of your self-control that caused you to leave when that ruler is harsh. And remember, I don't think they're supposed to be harsh. I'm not justifying them having a bad attitude. I'm trying to salvage you so you can have a good relationship with somebody that's got a bad attitude. You say, why? You might need them. It might be your dad. It might be your mom. It might be some spiritual leader. You know what I'd love? I'm relatively patient with people. You'd have to push me long and hard. I mean, my vicious of enemies have been treated with the utmost of dignity and kindness. But if I ever lose my temper with you, you know what I'd love? I'd love to think that somebody could let me slip in my emotion and them still be okay and say, it's okay, preacher. You fight a spiritual battle and you lost it, but I understand it. I'm still with you. But pastor does not dare, because everybody requires 100% of him to live what's in the scripture. But we can all act like animals among each other. We can quit our jobs and quit on our husband and quit on our wife and quit on our kids and hate everybody. And oh, we don't say it like that. We just make sure it's in our heart. But I'll tell you what, if the ruler rise up against you, you don't have to quit. You don't have to quit. I think everybody should be treated with dignity. And by the way, it's probably our pride that demands dignified treatment. You say, I just want what I deserve, then you deserve hell. And I'd stop asking for what you deserve. You're getting better than what you deserve. People leave their jobs way too easily in this day and age. What happened? He offended me. Oh, you big baby. Thanks, Brother Phillips. People quit too easily. They run too easily. Why? They get offended. They get offended. Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me." And Peter preached Pentecost, the greatest revival in history thereafter. Can you imagine someone saying, "You're a devil"? Now, how long do you think my music director would last in the church if I called him down by calling him the devil incarnate? He'd have to be pretty spiritual to take it, wouldn't he? He'd have to be pretty humble to take it, wouldn't he? He could go down in history if he could take it. He could rise above the crowd if he could take it. And Peter did. Called him a devil, printed it in a book, and spread it around the world. Peter still preached Pentecost and had 3,000 people saved and is used as the ultimate New Testament example of a man of God preaching a great revival. Because Peter could take getting knocked in the head every once in a while and took it without developing a bad attitude. And I'm not going to call you a devil. It's tempting. People leave their jobs too easily, and people leave so many things too easily. People leave churches too easily, way too easily. Now, let me tell you all something. If I turn coat and tell you that the King James Bible is not the inspired, preserved Word of God, you ought to leave. Well, if we start saying salvation is not it's not grace through faith, that you ought to leave. But through a little bit of emotional tension, I'm sorry. You can leave one church where you had two bumps with emotional tension and go to the one up the street where you're going to have four bumps. But you're not getting out of the bumps. You say, "What am I supposed to do?" Deal with it spiritually. Be bigger than the person that caused the bump. There's some young people in here. You could rise above your parents spiritually. You say, "How?" Respond properly when they're not acting properly toward you. And so, you know, young people, until you've been a parent, you don't know why they feel the way they do at this very moment. Say, "I thought it was going to kill me." You probably needed killed at the moment. And you've not been a dad yet. He told you 400 times not to do it, and you did it anyway. What else is he supposed to do? Let me go on. If the ruler rises up against you, your yielding stands the potential of pacifying them. That's what the scripture said. Listen to it. It says, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. You know, it only takes one to end the argument. One can end the argument. Now, if I'm the follower at the time, probably I'm the best one to try to end the argument. It says, for yielding, pacify it. Yielding is a shock absorber. Submission creates smoothness. I train myself this way. Now, I worked in the secular world. I worked in machine shops. I worked in factories. I always said this to myself when I was called to the boss's office. This is what I said. "Jeff, make this better, not worse. Make this turn out better, not worse. Make this better, not worse." If you could say to yourself, when you feel like you're about to face some tension with a leader, decide you want to make it better, not worse. If you'll mentally say that, then if you can control yourself while you're there, you'll be okay. Hold your tongue. I said this the other day. Hold your opinion. There are people in this building. I could have been in a fight with you already. I did not respond to you. There are times you just talked. I didn't say a word. I disagreed. Matter of fact, I thought you were wrong, but I didn't think you could handle me challenging you. So I just didn't say anything. I held back my opinion. You say, well, why? I'll figure out another way to help fix it. What are you trying to do? Have good relationships with people. There, you know, there's a way to correct and to be corrected without destroying relationships. Show humility, respect, and responsibility. Hey, let me ask you something. Could you let a leader make a mistake at your expense? Will you let a leader make a mistake at your expense? How many mistakes have you made at your leader's expense? If we would require as much of ourselves as we do those that lead us, we'd all be better people, wouldn't we? I'm almost done. One little point and we're done. And you don't need any more. You're on overload. So the Bible teaches, and this is point number five, if the ruler rise up against you, your yielding can pacify not just offenses, but great offenses. Great offenses. Hey, handling a leader's attitude properly could save your job, could save your house, could save your car, could save your health insurance. Right? You have to have that job to be able to pay those bills, right? That to me, boy, now you're in the element of grade. Do you understand that handling someone else's bad attitude could save your marriage? Do you know that people that have a bad attitude for a little while doesn't mean they're going to keep a bad attitude forever? And if you could respond right when someone in your household has a bad attitude, you could keep a good relationship with that person until that person's attitude is properly salvaged by God. And guess what? You could keep your family together. Great offenses could mean the loss of a ministry, the loss of lifetime trust or lifetime friendships, the loss of deep family relationships. I dealt with a man. In the time I knew him, for 9 years, he had 10 different jobs. Each time he would change jobs, he would want to sit down and talk with me about it. The last three or four times, it was all I could do to handle having coffee with him. Because this is what he said. I'm looking for a job. I need a good job. The last place I worked, you could not get along with the boss. And I'm thinking, you know, after nine of them, every boss he had was still where they originally were when he worked for them. They all were stayers. He was the quitter. You see the common denominator? Was it the nine bosses? Well, they did have something in common. They probably were tense sometimes. They probably wanted to motivate. They probably raised their voice a little bit. But the greatest common denominator was the fact that he couldn't handle being corrected. And he just ran. So, I'll read the scripture to you. And we'll have an invitation. The Bible says, if the spear of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. I call the lesson your relationship with a bad-spirited leader. And let me say again, if you lead in this church with me, let's all lead right. Let's be good to people. Let's be kind to people. Let's be gentle. Let's learn how to properly lead. But if every once in a while a leader is a little tense, you be a good follower, even if the leader's not being a good leader. That'll pay off for you in the long run. And that's so at work and at home and in the military and at school, at church, just in society. The police officer said, get in your car and get on out of here. He didn't know what to do. You say, why? Because I learned a long time ago, yielding pacifieth yielding pacifieth. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, may I suggest that you yield to Him and let Him save you. If you're not saved and you want to be saved, you come during this altar call and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Christians, yielding pacifieth great offenses. Young people, Brother Owens loves you. I want you to be happy. Listen, if mom's got a bad attitude or dad's got a bad attitude and they go to correct you, you just keep doing right. You have a good attitude in spite of what theirs is. Wives, same for you. Employees, same for you. Make it so you can sleep at night because you kept the right attitude. There's nothing I can do about the leadership. That's their part. I can do everything about my fellowship. That's my part. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, God has challenged my heart in something that was said in this sermon tonight, and I want God to know it, and you'll raise your hand. God's challenged me about some things. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment at the altar, why don't you come? You might need to come down and just get on your knees and say, God, help me. I need help with that thing right there. Strengthen me. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Yielding pacifieth great offenses. If you yield when somebody has a bad attitude, that doesn't mean you agree with their bad attitude. It means you agree with the Scripture about what you're supposed to do. Hey, and let me tell you something. If you're a leader and you're saying, yeah, I lose it all the time, I just want their obedience, won't you get your act together? Maybe next week I can teach on the attitude of a leader. This week I'm trying to help the follower because the Bible says, followers, you do your part first. I promise you, if you look at the greatest military personalities in the history of the world, there were tense moments. There were times when they got huffy, they were tough, there's a little bit of meanness, but they saved thousands of lives. Yielding pacifieth great offenses. And if the leader's throwing things, the follower doesn't need to throw things. And if the leader is screaming, the follower does not have to scream. If the leader is being hateful, the follower does not have to be hateful. I don't think the leader ought to be throwing things. I don't think they ought to be cussing and yelling and screaming, and I don't think they ought to be angry. But if they are, as a follower, I've got to do the right thing. I've got to do the right thing. And what'll happen? You'll pacify great offenses. Your relationships will be stronger because of the Scripture. Ushers, if you will have the prayer bulletins, we need to check on the bulletin real quickly and then we'll be on our way. This is the last time through the song.